I have this is probably to this point one of the most, me personally, one of the most exciting podcasts that I could ever do for so many reasons. You were the guy that when I was 16 years old, I would watch your videos. Like, this is way before the internet, way before social media, way before YouTube, Instagram, all this stuff. I'd watch your videos, and I told you earlier in the gym, I have to admit that I pirated them. I feel bad, but this is the one and only Ronnie Coleman. You are a fucking legend. The things that you've done is amazing on so many levels. But I want to talk to you a little bit about, before we get into a lot more stuff, I want to talk to you a little bit about your childhood. Like, how did you find bodybuilding? How did bodybuilding become your life? Like, I know you played sports. Yeah. I know you played football. When were you like, this is my thing, right?
Oh, that's kind of hard to say. I grew up in a small town, bodybuilding there. We had...
What town was it?
It's Bastrop, Louisiana.
Okay.
Right close to Monroe, Shreveport, those bigger cities.
Yeah.
But we just had football, basketball, track, and powerlifting. That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have a whole lot of sports. But nobody did bodybuilding. I started lifting like as a kid, you know, just for fun.
Yeah.
At 12.
Okay.
The reason why I started, because when I was a kid growing up, you know, I was real active, always out in the streets,
yeah,
playing. And everywhere I went, every time I would go to the store, go to the supermarket, people would always ask me if I worked out. I'm like, no.
This is before you worked out.
Before I worked out, yeah.
Okay.
This is when I was like 9, 10, 11 years old.
Yeah.
So after a while, I'm like, man, why would everybody ask me if I worked out?
So were you just like, you were just already muscular?
I was real muscular as a kid, you know.
No working out?
No working out at all. Okay. I was still real muscular, and people could see, you know, because it looked like I worked out all the time. But I didn't. So I'm like, man, I wonder what I would look like if I actually started working out. So I started working out it when I was 12 years old and immediately fell in love with it. You know, I got the weight set, my house, I'm working out every single day doing curls. I didn't know what I was doing.
Of course, yeah.
I'm just working out, you know, just trying to get, you know, a little muscles on me.
Yeah.
And like I said, I fell in love with it. And by the time I got to junior high, I was playing football, you know, I was on the track team. We had football, basketball, track, and that was it.
Yeah.
The guys at the high school saw me like, man, we want you to join our powerlifting team when you get to high school. So, cause you're real muscular right now. You look like you're kind of strong. I'm like, I'd love to. And as soon as I got to high school, I started out on the powerlifting team.
Right.
And they taught me proper form, you know, how to work out as a powerlifter.
This is at 12.
Yeah, this is at 14.
14, okay.
Yeah, because you know, that's when we started high school back then. So I immediately fell in love with, you know, powerlifting right away. Started doing meets. You know, I didn't do real good, you know, because, you know, I'm new, and I'm still learning.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
I'm having fun, having the time of my life, and like I said, I just fell in love with powerlifting right away, and I worked out every single chance I got.
Yeah. So when you found bodybuilding, I'm curious, what did the people in your life, like your parents, what did they think about you doing bodybuilding?
My mom always supported me in everything I've ever done. You know, when I played college football, she came to every chance she got to come to a game, she was there.
Yeah.
Same thing in high school. And when I started bodybuilding, same thing. You know, every single chance she got to come to a show, she was there.
Yeah.
And she always supported me 100% in everything I did.
Yeah.
She loved it.
She loved it.
Yeah.
Did anyone ever doubt it? Like, did you ever feel like there was anyone in your family or like in your circle? No one ever doubted
Nobody you. Ever doubted me. They always gave me 110. You know, my whole family did. My brothers, my sisters, everybody supported me. 100%, and they came to all my shows and the ones that they could, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't get the chance to travel out of town too much, but when they could, they would be there.
Yeah.
So they always supported me.
So when you found bodybuilding and it was like, this is you, when did you realize that you could be great at it? Because we, as we know now, one of the greatest ever.
Yeah.
Eight time, like you've actually, I think you have the most wins ever in the IFBB.
At one time I did. And yeah. then Dexter, I think.
Oh, yeah. He just kept competing forever.
Yeah. I didn't find out I could be great at it until I won my first Olympia.
Okay. Yeah. So this is crazy, though. Okay. Yeah. So you were training, and you won your first. That's when you realized you could be great at it? When you won your first Olympia?
When I won my first Olympia. A lot of people don't know it, though. I worked full time the whole time I was training, you know, getting ready for the Olympia. My first Olympia I won, I worked all the way up until like 2 or 3 days out before I left to go to the show.
As a police officer.
So, yeah. You know, the whole time I'm, you know, doing bodybuilding, you know, I'm just doing it because the guys told me to give me a free membership to the gym.
Yeah.
I didn't start bodybuilding until I was about 24, 25 years old.
Yeah.
And the only reason I did it, because I never forget it, like it was yesterday. The first time I went to the gym, he's like, man, you pretty big guy. You up doing it? Bodybuilding? I'm like, no, dude, I never did bodybuilding. I'm not into that.
Prior to that, you were just powerlifting.
Powerlifting.
So your core before bodybuilding was 100% strength.
Yeah, just strength.
Okay.
Yeah, never ever.
For years was
thought
it
about
like.
Bodybuilding.
For years.
For years, yeah. Okay. Never did any bodybuilding. Never wanted to do any. And I went to this gym probably like the first 3 or 4 days in the gym. He's like, man, you need to try this bodybuilding thing. I'm like, no, dude, I don't want to bodybuild. I just want to, you know, get a good workout in and, you know, go to work, because I always went to work right after I, you know, trained every day. And he kept telling me, man, I think you could be Mr. Olympia, world champion. And I'm like, no, that's okay. I don't want to bodybuild. I just want to, you know, get a workout in and go to work. And
this was at 26 years old.
Yeah, this is at like when I first went to the gym. This is my first 3-4 days in the gym. He's telling me all this stuff, you know, and I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to bodybuild. I just want to work out and go to work. That's all I want to do. You know, I'm not interested in bodybuilding.
So when did you realize, oh, this is my future? This is the thing that I'm going to go towards. When did you realize that?
I never really thought about it.
You didn't?
I didn't, because I was working full-time police department.
Yeah.
Making real good money. I had nice cars. I had Corvettes. And you know,
I remember seeing all this in the videos.
Yeah, nice trucks. I had 2 or 3 vehicles, and I had my own house, you know.
Yeah.
I had a brand new house and everything. And I just never thought about being a professional bodybuilder full-time.
Yeah.
It was just bodybuilding is secondary. Working for the police department is my primary objective. Right.
So when it became full time and you knew that it was like the thing that you were going to do, did you know that you would be that great? Like that you would have that many titles?
No. I never even thought I could win the Olympia because, you know, I was a police officer.
Yeah.
And that's really what I wanted to do. I wanted to have a career with the police department. And, I say I was making real good money and things was going real good for me. I had like 2 jobs besides working for the police department. I worked at Denny's on the weekends.
Yeah.
And then I would work at this place called Western Warehouse, or the boot store.
I was just thinking, how did you balance all this?
Well, you know, I was always a hustler.
Yeah. I just like, how do you have time to get the meals in?
I just took my food with me. I took my food to work. You know, it only took me about 5-10 minutes to heat it up. And I can eat it right there in the car.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was never an issue, never a problem. There were some days where, you know, I didn't get a lunch break because I was so busy.
Yeah.
So what I would do is when I got a call, you know, I would like, to do an accident report, it takes about 2 hours. So while I'm filling out my accident report, I'm eating at the same time.
Okay.
So, because I can't get a lunch break because I'm so busy at work.
I wonder if people were making jokes, like this big guy, like eating his, getting his meal in.
See, they didn't see me because I always went home to do my, I was kind of smart in a way. I would work in the area where my house was.
Okay.
So I could always go home.
This is so funny to me.
I would go
home. So you get the meals.
To get my meals in.
Yeah.
I would go home, you know, use the bathroom, or take my bathroom break.
Yeah.
I made sure every time I was working for the police department, my house was in the same district that I worked in.
Yeah.
So that made it that much easier for me.
Yeah. What did the other, like, police officers think that you were, because you were like you were a jacked bodybuilder.
Well, you know, most of the guys didn't really pay attention to other guys. Everybody was, you know, trying to survive.
I get it.
Everybody's on their own. They're doing their own thing. They're taking care of their families, you know. They're trying to make as much money as they can. So everybody just stuck to their own things, stuck their own business. You know, they were never really concerned about, you know, what other guys had going on because they were too busy trying to, you know, take care of their families and provide for their families. So they really wasn't concerned with what I was doing.
Yeah. So when did you stop being a police officer and just full-time bodybuild?
Probably after I won my third Mr. Olympia.
So you won three.
Yeah.
This is so crazy to me because, like, people listening to this on the internet, watching this now, it's just such a different world now with social media, with, like, you know, the fact that people can create their own brands or sell their own products or be sponsored. There's so much money in this industry now that didn't exist and wasn't relevant when you were in your prime and even on your way up. I guess my question in that regard is, like, do you think that social media has changed bodybuilding?
Oh, tremendously.
Yeah.
Tremendously, yeah. Because you can be a millionaire just from posting on the internet.
Yeah.
You don't have to do bodybuilding or nothing. You can just, you know, do your own thing and make millions of dollars just posting, you know, you working out.
Being in shape.
Being in shape. Teaching people stuff. Making your own stories, you know.
Yeah. Do you think it's changed the competitiveness in bodybuilding?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Guys don't have to be so involved in just being a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Because they got these other things that you can do with social media. You can make money from doing other stuff besides just bodybuilding.
Yeah.
So back then, you know, when we didn't have social media, so when we competed, you know, everybody was competing, you know, for the money, you know, to make money off bodybuilding. Now they got so many other avenues from social media that you can make money from.
Yeah, and what I found interesting, we talked about this in gym earlier, we were training, was you guys never in that era really got a chance to see each other. So there wasn't like, oh, you know, you could see, like, you know, Chris Bumstead could see his competitors coming up now, and these people can see each other because there's so much content being made along the way.
Yep.
You guys are just, like, completely in the dark, and you saw them that day, and you were like, oh, shit.
You didn't see your competitor until the day of the show.
Yeah.
Leading up to that, you never knew what anybody was doing, how hard they were training.
Yeah.
Nothing. You didn't know anything about what the other guy was doing.
So I find this so interesting because this dynamic, this concept, like, for example, I did social media from the very beginning of social media, like about 2011, like Instagram started at the end of 2010. So, like, I started It started in October 2010.
Yeah.
I started in, like, I don't know what the exact date was, like the next year, 2011. And it had just started, like, Instagram. And so I didn't have examples of, like, oh, I can do this on the internet and become a social media person, because there was no one doing that. Like, it wasn't a thing. Like, I guess in a sense kind of pioneered that.
Yeah.
And I find it interesting, like, you and the bodybuilders back then pioneered, like, bodybuilding in its entirety. But I find it interesting now, in the question I'm trying to get to is, because of there's so much comparison between people.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's changed bodybuilding? Like, it seems like it's like a different, it's a completely different sport almost now. All right, guys, quick interruption. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a mobile therapy platform where you don't have to go and, like, talk to someone in person. I've been to therapy tons of times. It's, like, fucking changed my life drastically. It always helps to have someone to talk to that is, like, unbiased of your actual, like, situation that's going on. And now this is a simple way for you to get engaged with a therapist on your own time, at your own accord, so you don't feel like you have to like show up somewhere every day at like fucking 4 p.m. or twice a week at 4 p.m., whatever it is, and you got traffic. It's through the phone. It's through Zoom calls. And join over 2 million people who have used this platform successfully. All right, I invite you guys to check it out. Go to betterhelp.com/rawtalk. You guys get a 10% off your first month with the link right there. Again, that's betterhelp.com/rawtalk. And yeah, let's get back into this podcast.
Yeah.
Like, and just in general, the comparison of if I saw you on the internet posting this or doing that, and then I'm trying to do it or copy it, or I gotta, you know, now I'm worried about what you might look like on stage versus like, what I'm saying is prior to social media, even when I trained, you just did it. You almost did it because you really, really loved it. And this is something we talked about in the gym. Mm-hmm. Do you think that people now do stuff just because they see someone else doing it and be successful at it?
Yeah, or they really, because really I thought about it, but I think the guys are just doing what they want to do and really not concerned with other guys doing because you really can't control it. So as far as that aspect goes, I think they're doing it their own way, you know. And
because what I see a lot of guys
concerned about what anybody else is doing,
because
you can't control it, basically.
Yeah.
So doesn't seem because there's so much other stuff going on now.
Yeah.
The guys are not like 1,000% invested in the bodybuilding.
Yes.
You know, it's so many other avenues. Like guys are starting their own supplement companies.
Everything.
I mean, that's been the last thing you ever thought of when we were competing. Guys, you know, doing other stuff like, you know, starting their own t-shirt company.
Yeah.
You know, it's because of social media, you got so many other ways of making money.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be like totally involved in the bodybuilding.
And this is what I'm trying to say. The thing that I think I find so interesting, and for people listening, kids listening who like want to be great at bodybuilding or want to be great at social media, like I became great because I did it because I loved it. And there wasn't examples of like, and we're talking about purpose and passion. There wasn't examples of I can make money if I do this, right?
Yeah.
You being a bodybuilder, it wasn't like, oh, I can like look at these other bodybuilders or I can, you were just doing it because you loved it.
Yeah.
And then you became the ultimate success of it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I'm trying to draw. Like there's a lot of people now who see stuff on social media and they go, oh, I want to do what that person's doing, or I'm going to kind of copy that person's like, oh, they did this and then they did this and then they started this company and then I'm going to mimic this. And then the genuineness, like the purposeful, like the passion in it is a little different because maybe they're doing it just because they saw someone else do it versus like, this is all I know. Like all I knew was training. All I knew was like what I was doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was posting it and then it became a thing that like, oh wait, we can make money doing this. Like, cause when I started social media, it wasn't like that. When you did bodybuilding, it wasn't like that.
No, not at all.
So what I'm saying is I think the people who like could be, and this is for people listening, like if you really want to be super successful at something, I think you really have to give a fuck about it beyond just making money.
Yeah.
Cause you became a great bodybuilder, a legendary bodybuilder, because you really love that shit.
And enjoy it and look forward to doing it each and every single day.
Yeah.
And that was my, you know, ultimate passion. The thing that I look forward to doing each and every single day. Every day. Like I was telling you, we was working out, you know. That was my hobby.
Yeah.
So I look forward to just working out and training hard and going heavy each and every single day.
Well, that was something I found crazy. You said you it reminds me of me. It's like before I got on the internet, like all I did was, it wasn't to shoot content. It wasn't to, you know, lift girls, do all the crazy stuff that I've done over the time. I literally like would try to lift heavy every day. When you were saying that, I was like, this is so interesting. Cause like, that's exactly how I trained.
Yep.
Not that it was the best correct way to train to like optimize my results. If I want to be a powerlifter and see the most progress, cause I know that I need to take days off, rest days. Mm-hmm. But like, I found a lot of like similarities. I was like, fuck, that's literally all I ever did was like, I'd go in and try and lift as heavy as possible, no matter what.
No matter what. And every single day I trained.
You did that.
That's the way I trained. There were never any like, you know, well, I think I'm gonna go light today.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've been training heavy for the last 5-6 days in a row.
Yeah.
To me, it was like, I'm gonna see how heavy I can go today, the next day, and the day after that, and each and every single day.
Yeah.
So it was always about how heavy can I go today?
Yeah. You didn't complicate. Like nowadays,
how
it's like,
how much stronger can I get?
nowadays you like, there's so much comparison, or there's so many like, oh, try this training method or that training method or this thing. And it's interesting because like, you are one of the best bodybuilders, period. And I'm telling you this before, mm-hmm. in the gym, I don't think there's ever going to be another bodybuilder at your level, size, symmetry, strength combined, yeah. win that many titles. I don't think that's ever going to happen again. And I think it came down to like the fact, like I was saying earlier, that like you really loved it for it.
Yep. And look forward to it each and every single day.
Yeah.
And never had any bad days. Maybe one bad day that I can think of.
One bad day.
When I, you know, didn't feel so good. I didn't get sick a lot. Maybe once or twice during my whole career.
Yeah.
That, you know, I might got a stomach bug or something.
Once or twice?
Yeah, and I think that day that I had a bad day, I came down with it while I was in the gym. I'm like,
yeah.
Man, stomach is killing me.
But you probably still finished really your session.
I finished what I was doing. Yeah. And like, okay, I'm out.
Do you have any regrets, training-wise or bodybuilding-wise?
Oh, no. When you're doing something that's your hobby, something that you really and truly enjoy doing,
yeah.
you don't have no regrets.
Yeah.
Only regret I had is when I was doing that 800-pound squat, I didn't do 6 reps because yeah. I knew I had 6 in me. But I didn't know that until I put it up because that was my first time ever trying it.
Yeah.
If I had done it, you know, before that day, I'd have got 6 easy reps on camera. And
yeah.
I would have been fully satisfied. But because I didn't do it, that's the only regret I ever have in the sport. That's the only regret because I knew. And as soon as I put it up, I said to myself, man, that was light. It was light for real, you know?
Yeah.
And I could have got at least 3 more reps. But because I had 2 in my mind, because I, you know, deadlifted it before.
Right. That's what you were going to do. You thought you were going to do
that's
it.
That's what I thought I was going to do. I was like, if I could get 2, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
And not thinking, you know, this is going to be light, you know.
Do you have any other PRs that were off camera? Because the only
one I got is the front squat. I tried 6 plates on camera, and I didn't take into account the bounce of the bar.
The whip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I went down, it was bouncing so much, it just bounced right off my chest.
Okay.
And I'm like, man, I know I could have got more than 4, whatever I did.
Mm-hmm.
So that next week, you know, I went in there and I was like, okay, I'm going to do it nice and slow and take this bounce away and I can do more. And I did 10 reps with it.
Yeah, fuck. And that wasn't on camera.
It wasn't on camera. You know, we didn't have all these cell phone cameras yeah. and all this stuff back then.
It's so different. It's so yeah. different now, man.
Yeah. But that's the only thing that PR that I didn't get on camera.
Yeah.
That I wished I would have got on camera.
Yeah. So with like your injuries, like the back stuff, how many surgeries have you gone through?
See, 13 so far.
Yeah.
I've had 8 back, 3 hip, 2 neck.
Yeah. Do they cause you pain like often?
No, not too often, you know, but my whole career has been painful, you know,
yeah.
but because I'm having so much fun and enjoying myself, you know, I can block it out. I can block it out. And plus I have a real high pain tolerance.
Yeah.
Like when I herniated my disc, I told you about it earlier, when yeah. I herniated my disc in the gym that time, you know, I finished my training session, you know.
What year was this?
It was 1996. I'll never forget it. I had 6 plates on there and I normally do 12 reps with 6 plates.
Yeah.
But I took a week off, you know, it was right after the Olympia. And I'm coming up on rep number 8, and I heard a loud pop. It sounded like a gunshot, actually. And as soon as I did it, I dumped the weight because I thought the guy behind me had hit me. I didn't know I herniated my disc, you know.
Yeah.
I turned around like, dude, did you hit me when I was coming up? Because we always hit each other.
Yeah.
Hit each other fire. He's like, no, man, I didn't touch you. I'm like, what was that loud pop? He's like, I don't know, but I heard it too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, man, but let me go on to the next exercise. And I didn't get 12 with it, but I got almost 8. So
yeah.
I was done with that one. I went did my leg press, I did some walking lunges, and I did hamstrings. I did my hamstring and quads always together. I finished my workout, and I went home and put my uniform on, took a shower, ate, and I was going to work.
Yeah.
And I like, wait a minute, my back's still hurting. Because normally, my back always hurt it, you know, when I did legs, always hurt it.
You get my like whole, a back
my
pump.
My whole life, yeah, I've like always had back problem. I'm like, man, something's wrong. It ain't supposed to hurt when I'm going to work.
Yeah.
That's when it stopped. Right after I got in the car to go to work, that's when it stopped. This day it didn't.
Stop.
So I like, something's wrong. So instead of going to work, I went to the hospital, found out I had a herniated disc.
And then did you take time off? Did you keep training?
I took 2 weeks off because I was in so much pain, you know, that I couldn't work out.
Yeah.
But I was getting ready for the Arnold Classic. So after that 2 weeks, I'm like, okay, I can't take no more time off. I just got to deal with this pain.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be all right. And I went back to the gym, and first thing I did was squats.
Yeah.
Because that's how I hurt my back.
So you're like, let me see if I can do this.
Yeah, let me make sure I can still do squats. And if I can still do squats, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
And I could still do squats. I just couldn't go to 600. What I could do was 315 for like 15, 20 reps.
You're just doing volume.
Yeah, yeah. So got I'm it. Like, okay, I'll be all right, you know.
Yeah. You just kept training through.
Slowly, I worked my way back up to six plates.
That's
by the
so
time,
crazy.
By the time I, you know, was getting ready to go to the show, I was back up to six plates.
Yeah.
So that was it.
Yeah. So let's talk about the actual bodybuilding career and like your progress in it. You, I saw a photo of you and. From what I understood, at least on the internet, they're like, oh, this is Ronnie's natural here, right? Yeah. And you looked incredible. You look like a top, like, I would say, classic physique competitor right now would look. And how, so when did you start taking gear?
I think I was about 30, because I'll never forget it. Flex Wheeler was the one coming up, and he was winning all his shows. And I'm like, man, what is he doing to win all these shows, and, you know? I'm gonna go have
had
a
you won? Had you won anything prior to that?
I hadn't won anything.
Okay.
And I still was getting like third and fourth.
Okay.
So the top three qualified for the Olympia.
We're talking about pros though. Still,
yeah. Yeah.
You were still competing.
Yeah.
In the pro circuit as a natural bodybuilder.
Yeah, but I would make the top three, so I would get like third, and that would qualify me for the Olympia.
And just to be clear for everyone listening, all the other guys are probably on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't really care about that though.
Of course, yeah.
But I got tired of you know not placing high in third.
Yeah.
And like I said, Flex was winning, so I'm like, I'm gonna go have a talk with him and see what he's doing. So he told me everything he was doing, and he even told me who I could get gear from and everything.
Yeah.
So I went, you know, talked to him, and I finally figured out, you know, what exactly I had to do, and I just did everything he told me.
Yeah. I'm very curious about this because I could never know, right? It's like in your shoes. What kind of amounts, like what kind of gear were you taking? Was it testosterone? Was it Tren? Like what?
Man, it was so long ago. I don't forget what all he told me. I can't even remember. I remember him saying Winstrol.
So an oral.
He said, what does he tell me? It's been so long ago. I can't remember all what he told me. But I just did whatever he said he was doing.
And then you just kept just doing that each show?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What the fuck?
But it was like I say, it was media. You know, I won my first show right after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it wasn't a lot. You know, I wasn't taking a lot. It was just small amounts here and there, you know. Yeah.
All right, guys, quick interruption. We got another sponsor, Blue Chew. That's right. Blue Chew has sponsored the podcast today. If you guys haven't tried this before, I encourage you to try it. I mean, not every single one of you might need it, but if you need a little extra help in the bedroom, it's incredible. I don't even know how to say this, otherwise it just makes your dick harder, bigger. Like, I mean, it's what we all want, right? So fucking run it. So if you could benefit from some extra confidence when it's time to perform, Blue Chew can help. If you guys want to check it out, you guys can get for free. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping. Use promo code RAWTALK at the checkout. Again, promo code RAWTALK will get you free Blue Chew. Literally just pay $5 shipping. You could try it out and see if you like it. And if you like it, then come back and, you know, hard dicks for everyone. You get one, and we all get one. It's fucking, it's amazing. Enjoy yourself.
And whatever he told me he was doing worked for me too.
Yeah, I think genetically, plus, anything would have worked for you.
Yeah, and I was 30 years old at the time because it was 1995 when I won my first show.
Yeah,
that's how I correlate. That's how I remember everything.
Yeah,
I won my first pro show in 1995, the Canada Cup. And it was right after Flex had told me what all he was taking.
So you remember though, they seemed to be moderate amounts.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't that much. It was moderate amounts of stuff. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't a lot, you know. I remember it was like maybe two or three things.
Yeah,
and you know, a few pills here and there.
And did you continue that throughout? That was the same thing you always did.
Same thing I always did. That's all I knew.
All eight Olympias that
well,
you won.
No. Once I hooked up with Chad Nichols now. I remember he totally changed everything I was doing.
Okay.
He put me in. He probably doubled everything I was doing.
He increased it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, from what I can remember. But it worked. Whatever he told me to do, worked every single time.
Yeah.
He increased my cardio. Increased my vitamins. I was taking a lot of vitamins and minerals.
Yeah.
Increased that. My food almost double.
Yeah.
Everything pretty much double when I got with him.
Yeah. And I heard, I heard this from Jay that you were just like an animal when it came to obviously your training structure, but also your food. Like you never missed.
Oh, no.
You were just like, you had a meal, you had it, you ate it no matter what. Yeah. You finished it no matter what.
Yeah. Everything was structured. Everything was done at the same time, each and every single day.
Is that just your personality, you think?
Yeah, exactly. That's just the way I was structured back in those days. I did everything according to a certain plan. I did everything according to a certain time of day.
Yeah.
You know, and because I had to come up with something that would work for me because I worked full time.
Yeah.
Police department. So I had to figure out, you know, what time of day I was going to do this, what time of day I was going to do that. And I did everything the same time each and every single day.
Yeah.
Everything was structured to fall at a certain time each and every single day.
Right,
like when I worked out the same time. When I had a certain meal, it was the same time each and every single day. Even if I was busy doing something, you know, I may have missed a couple, but I made up for it.
yeah, for sure. So I have a question on the same line of stuff. What do you think about now? Like a lot of these bodybuilders are dying. Cedric had recently passed away. There's, you know, some guys who aren't as in the sense in the circuit of bodybuilding, but like Boston Lloyd, I recently passed away. Obviously, you know, Rich passed away in the past. But even more like pros are passing away here and there.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Everybody's body is different, though, you know. So
yeah.
Everybody has their own way of doing things. It's kind of hard. You know, when I was coming up, we had one guy die. And they started drug testing every show.
Yeah.
He died because of diuretics, of course, you know.
Yeah, very hard on the body.
So they start drug testing for diuretics every show, and nobody passed away, nobody died or nothing until they stopped. And I'll never forget when they stopped. They stopped, he died in, what year was that? 1995 or 1996, I think.
Who was it? Did he die on stage?
It was Ben Aziza. He died on the... He died on the European tour. I know I wasn't Mr. Olympia back then. And I think it was either 96 or 97.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. And they drug tested every single show after that.
In the IFBB?
In the IFBB.
What? Mm-hmm. I thought they didn't drug test in the IFBB.
Yeah, they did. Because that one guy died. Yeah. And, you know, and the vice president wasn't having it back then. He knew what that would do to the sport.
Yeah.
So it was a drug test, and it was a real one.
Yeah.
It wasn't no fake one. You couldn't say, you know, yeah, I took the test, but it wasn't a real test. It was a real test. And if you fail, they took your prize money.
Really?
Yeah. NASA failed. They took his money. That was in 1997.
Were they testing for diuretics specifically? Because they knew that everyone was on gear.
They were testing for diuretics specifically.
Okay, so it wasn't like you're on gear, you can't.
No. It wasn't for any gear. Because he didn't die because of that. He died because of the diuretics.
Yeah.
And that's what they tested for.
Yeah, the Lasix, Aldactone, I mean, that kind of shit.
All that, yeah. So we couldn't take any diuretics back then.
Okay.
Until so, 2001, when Jay failed the test.
And then they stopped testing?
Yep, because Jay told him he was going to sue him.
Oh.
And they were like, okay, well,
we won't keep testing.
We won't keep testing.
Oh,
and you get a chance to keep your prize money too. So we'll.
Oh shit!
Yeah, we'll just do away with the testing.
So Jay changed that.
Jay.
Wow.
Jay changed that. Yeah.
Damn.
They didn't test no more. After that.
Yeah. So what do you think a bodybuilder would need to like be aware of? Because obviously gear is not the healthiest thing in the world for anyone to be doing, right?
No, but
what do you think a bodybuilder would need to be aware of in order to do that in a healthy way? Because obviously, you know.
I was always testing my I did a full, complete blood test.
I love this, yeah.
At least 3 times a year.
I love
to
it.
To test my, to determine my liver function, my kidney function.
Your heart.
My heart.
Yeah.
Everything. I did a full blood work every single year. 3 times a year.
Yeah.
And it always came back good. Yeah. I'm still doing it today.
Of course.
You know, once I found out, you know, if you do everything the right way, you know, you won't.
Yeah.
You'll stay alive.
Yeah. This is one of the things.
Your kidneys, heart, all your major arteries are functioning. You okay.
Yeah. This is one of the things I think is really important to make note and for people to listen and hear. Is like people really underestimate the value of knowing what's happening in their body.
Know what's happening in your body. And my doctor would tell me, hey, man, your blood panel look better than mine. I'm like, yeah, but I'm taking good care of myself.
It's amazing. Yeah, no, it's amazing. But that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of people, I think, nowadays, like people aren't as, I don't know, maybe they're afraid of getting their stuff checked out, or maybe they don't know that they can get their stuff checked out, but there is so much benefit to knowing what's going on, because you can make little changes and like and you could affect it greatly.
Yep. And then now they got, you know, stuff that can help keep your, you know, heart functioning properly, your liver and your kidney
specific supplements, yeah, all that health
specific
stuff.
Specific supplements, yeah.
So and when you were taking your supplements, because you told me this in the gym and I was curious, did you take any like specific supplements like that? I know you said you're doing like the basic, like the vitamin D, and you had a story about that, but like the simple stuff.
They got glutathione.
Back sure then? Because glutathione, I know it's great for the liver.
I think when it first came out, I think that's when I started taking it. I don't know how long it's been, but it's been a while. And they got a couple of other things that also help.
What were you consistent with in your supplement?
A lot of these TRT places,
you
know, help with a lot of that stuff. Like I do a lot of my stuff with Frontline Alternative. They got people that'll come to your house and do these tests for you, so you don't even have to go in to have it done.
Yeah.
A lot of other things I've done, like they got clinics that do like I have mine done at this clinic in stem cell.
Stem cells.
Yeah, I go to a clinic in Port of Arta called Reganomax.
Reganomax.
Yeah, they've helped me out a lot. I've been doing that a lot. I'll go there probably about every 3 to 4 months.
This is just for overall well-being.
All overall well-being.
Right.
And it's helped me out tremendously.
Stem cells.
The stem cells. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried a couple of treatments here in the U.S. They were all right.
Yeah.
But once I started going over to Mexico.
Yeah.
Where they do the real.
Yeah.
The real deal. That made a tremendous. I used to be in a whole lot of pain all the time. Once I started going there, my pain levels went down. I started feeling better overall.
Yeah.
I had a lot more energy. And it helped me to get some of my mobility back also.
That's amazing. It's weird. I'm not trying to make this like conspiracy theory, talk about government or anything, but like stem cells could be so cheap, but we don't allow it to be.
Yeah.
And it's like,
you know why?
It's crazy. It's fucking crazy. The fact that you have to go out of country to get something and then have it change your life, essentially.
Exactly.
And we could do that here, but we don't allow it here.
Exactly.
It's a little fucking crazy.
Yeah. You got to go out of the country to get better.
Yeah. It's a strange thing.
Stay healthy.
Yeah. It's a strange thing.
And these things work,
Yeah. But no, they work really well.
Big government, everybody want to make all this money,
Yeah, they got to control it. So this
can't do certain things.
This makes me think of bodybuilding in general. We'll get back to this a little bit. It was on this trajectory, and you were there when it was going like ESPN. It was on this trajectory to be like a mainstream sport.
Yeah.
What do you think changed that?
I think back when I was competing, the DA came out and brought us all in. Wanted to know what we were taking, where we were getting our stuff from.
Why?
Because some kid playing baseball or got a hold of, some kind of drug. I think it was Deca or one of the main ones.
Okay.
But somebody found out about it, and they made him quit taking it. And they start, getting moody. And one day he just committed suicide. One day he just committed suicide. And his mom, she raised holy hell.
Yeah.
With the DEA and all these people.
So wait, why did they bring in the bodybuilders? So
they brought in, cause I think he said he got it from one of the professional bodybuilders.
So they just riled all the body professionals up?
They made us go to, I think it was South Carolina, North Carolina, and testify in front of the grand jury.
What the fuck? Wait, so you got all these? Were you guys all together?
All together.
Yeah. So,
all the top guys.
So I'm just picturing all these super jacked dudes.
Yeah. Testifying for the grand jury.
Were you guys wearing suits?
Yeah. You know what? No. They didn't make us wear suits. They didn't make us wear suits.
Okay.
Because we were just testifying before a grand jury, so we were not like in an actual courtroom,
Right, I see.
We were 20 people or something like that.
And so they were just trying to say.
And they was asking us questions. What do you take? Where do you get your stuff from? Who's supplying you with all these? And that's when everybody had to go legit and start going to all these TRT clinics.
Right.
And I think that helped the sport out a lot.
In what sense?
In that sense, because we was getting, it was legitimate, And we all getting these blood tests, because you got to have a blood test if you're going to get
prescribed.
Yeah,
exactly.
This stuff prescribed. So it helped out a lot, but they didn't accomplish anything because nothing happened. Nobody really supplied that kid with those drugs.
Yeah.
So he just got them from somebody else.
But you think that was
blamed it on the R sport?
I see. Do you think that was the thing that really changed the trajectory of bodybuilding? This portion of the video is sponsored by Javi. This is amazing. It's basically like a coffee concentrate. You put it in with some water. It blends real nicely. This is the caramel one. I love the flavor. And again, I like my coffee black. I don't like to put a lot of extra stuff in it, specifically because I'm dieting right now. But it tastes great. If you guys want to get it, where can I get it? Go ahead.
www.buy.javicoffee.com/rawtalk.
Yeah. Okay, Bam, relax. I know you want the caffeine, but dogs actually can't have caffeine.
And what happens when they use that link?
They get a fucking discount.
Yeah, they get 25% off.
Oh, they get 25% discount?
Yes, 25% off your order using our code.
25% off your order using code Raw Talk. Yeah, fucking incredible. I also, maybe they'll give you a free mug. I actually, look, don't quote me on that because they might be like, we're not giving free mugs, Brad. Go fuck yourself. But I don't know. Who knows? Maybe when you order, you get a hopefully, don't come for me, Javi. Sorry.
For the better.
Yeah. Even though it was removed, because they took it off like ESPN and all this stuff. You still think for the better.
But in you know, they had took it off ESPN when I won my first Olympia back in 1998. I think we got brought in around like 2002, somewhere in there, 02, 03, somewhere in there is when they brought us all in.
Oh.
So, you know.
So they took it off earlier. Why did they took it off? Because you were too big or what?
I have no idea. Like, I think it had a lot to do with drugs.
The stigma.
Yeah, the stigma. Bodybuilders have to take all these drugs to get that size.
This was around the same time as like. So
it's become more popular that way.
Got it.
In that sense.
Got it.
Well, because before that, they had all these shows with a lot of bodybuilders.
So you think they're
profile guys and everything. I mean, Sean Ray had a show where you know where they would show how to work out properly and do things the right way. I had them working out. I used to watch all these shows myself because I was new to the sport.
It's so funny.
So I'm trying to learn as much as I possibly can too.
It's so funny. It's so funny because I heard again. I was talking to Jay about this, and he was telling me how like you would learn all these things from these people and then just beat them all. You beat them forever.
Yeah. And
then they had to try
that
to like
was another thing, you know, because you know we didn't see each other and nobody knew what anybody was doing. You know, you didn't see the guy until the day of the show.
Yeah.
You know, just leading up to the show and working out each and every single day. Nobody saw anybody. Nobody talked about anybody. You know, it wasn't this social media thing.
Right.
You know, you didn't get the word until the magazines came out. You know.
Yeah. I'm curious. Did you ever see any other bodybuilders?
Never.
Where did you? But did you ever see any bodybuilders when you came to the show and you were like, oh shit, that guy looks really good?
No. I won't tell you why because most of the time when we were backstage, I was always focusing on myself. I'm trying to get myself pumped up. I'm trying to get myself hyped up. So I didn't want to see the other guy. But when I first started working out and first started going to shows, I did that. And it kind of, you know, intimidated me a lot.
Really?
Know? So I was like, let me not look at him.
You just focus on yourself.
Let me just focus on myself. But because I was so, trying to get this information and trying to learn from the sport, I'm trying to see how I'm supposed to look. So that's why I started looking at guys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, they look a little bit different from me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking in my head.
What do you think the number one thing that bodybuilding has taught you?
You know, for the most part, it taught me how to work out as a bodybuilder.
Of course.
Taught me that it can be healthy if you do it the right way. You know, if you don't do it the right way, it could be very, very unhealthy.
Right.
I don't know what a lot of these people are dying from, you know, because, you know, they don't really, a lot of times they don't say, and a lot of stuff is rumors too.
Yeah.
You don't know what's right. But I think if these people would have done it the right way by having, you know, their blood work, you know, done and stayed on top of everything and made sure they were always like 100% healthy.
Yeah.
I don't think they would have any problem.
Yeah. I think this is really important to say because nowadays, I don't know how I know you probably don't use so much of social media. Like you're probably not on TikTok and all this stuff like yourself. Right.
Mm-mm.
So nowadays it's very, very popular for kids who are very young to like talk about and joke about either taking Tren, which is crazy because it's a very hard steroid, or SARMs, which is like a new version of like pro hormones would have been back in the day, which are like different derivatives. It's like basically a steroid anyways, doing the same thing, affecting the hormones. And it's very popular nowadays on the internet, specifically TikTok, which is like a very young generation who really actively uses this to almost glorify steroid use. And I think it's really important for someone like you to say, hey, what you're saying right now, and I'm completely agreeing with this, is the number one thing that these kids need to think about. Because I think they just don't, number one, think at all about the consequences. They just think, oh, my favorite fitness influencer is like got a bunch of followers and they're making money and I want to do what he's doing.
Yeah.
The comparison, right? And I'm not saying, hey, don't do this or don't think like this in your life. But what needs to be said is exactly what you're saying is, kids, if you're ever going to think about this, you need to know what's going on inside your body first. Mm-hmm. Before you ever get started, so you know what's going on, you know what you're coming into, right? And then if you're ever going to consider to keep doing it moving forward, you have to, like, even you did this, best bodybuilder of all time, what, how, three times a year you got your blood work done? And like, that's the thing, like, people sometimes maybe they're afraid to do it or they just don't know to do it, but it's one of the most important things to do is to know what's going on inside your body, specifically in this case if we're putting something inside our body. And I just want that to be said, because I know some kids might watch this, and I know like a lot of kids are actively like almost joking about this shit on the internet. And it needs to be said, because it's there's very serious consequences, as we're seeing.
Very serious, especially when you start dying. And this sport is not worth dying for. No. Not at all. Because I remember back in 2001, I'll never forget it like it was yesterday. I woke up the morning of Olympia, and I felt awful.
Yeah.
I was totally dehydrated. You know, you have to be kind of a little bit dehydrated to get up there on stage. But this morning, I felt awful. I felt real bad. I was to the point where I felt like I was kind of dying.
Yeah.
And it scared the living hell out of me. I called my nutritionist. I said, hey, dude, I feel awful. Forget this show. I'm going to the hospital. I'm not going to die for this boy. I'm going to the hospital.
What were you feeling? Like your heart? What were you feeling?
Exhausted.
Like to a crazy level.
I was so tired. I could barely get out of bed.
Oh.
And I'm like, no, this ain't the way I'm supposed to feel. You know, I've won, what, four or five times already? And I've never felt like this. So I just called him and I like, hey, forget this show.
Yeah.
I don't want to live. I'm going to the hospital right now. He's like, no, you work too hard. I tell you what you do. Just grab a gallon of water and drink as much as you can. And that's what I did. I grabbed a gallon of water and I drank the whole thing. And I felt good.
So you were severely dehydrated.
I was severely dehydrated.
You could have died.
If I hadn't drank that water,
Fuck. That's so crazy.
I wasn't gonna let that happen. I was literally going to the hospital. I told my hey, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, let me call Chad first and tell him what I'm doing before I go. And I called him and said, hey, I'm on my way to the hospital. I feel off. Something ain't right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not supposed to feel this way. And I was almost out the door. I called him and he said, no, don't do that. You work too hard. He said, just grab a gallon of water and drink as much as you can.
Did you?
And that's what I did.
Did you do the show still?
Uh-huh.
I did. Oh, my God.
Because after I drank that gallon of water, I felt okay.
Was this an Olympia?
This was the morning of the 2001 Olympia.
Oh, my God.
2001 Olympia. This was the morning of the show.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, no. Something ain't right.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to feel like this.
Did you ever feel like that again?
I never felt like that again.
Yeah.
Never felt like that again.
Do you think you just took too much diuretic?
No. What I'd done was I tried to be Superman and I was going to compete twice a year. I had already done the Arnold Classic earlier that year.
Okay.
And that was the only time I ever done that. I'd never done that before.
So that's what it was.
That's what it was. My body peaked at the Arnold Classic. I looked the best I ever looked, you know, what people told me. And I was trying to peak again for the Olympia. And my body's like, no, dude, we already peaked.
Yeah, you can't have this twice.
You can't do this twice.
Yeah.
And I never did that again. And yeah. I never had that problem again.
Damn, that's so fucking crazy. Have you ever had any other moments like that where like not like any other like health scares?
No, that was the only one. The
only one in your life?
The only one I had.
Damn.
Yep, that was the
so
only one.
So what other like recovery things would you do? Like did you do like during your career? Yeah, not the stem cell stuff now, but like during your career.
Yeah, I told you earlier, I took 3 months off every single year after I won the Olympia.
So like the next day, you're like 3 months, I'm chilling.
I'm chilling. No yeah. working out, no cardio, no diet, nothing.
And that seemed to fucking work.
That worked like a charm for me.
Damn.
So I was resting and recovering for 3 whole months after every Olympia.
What would you do typically? Like, because you weren't training, because that was like your life. Did you like just...
I would go on vacation. Yeah. You know, I'll go on a cruise.
Where's the best place you've ever been? Vacation wise?
Actually, Aruba was real nice. I remember going there. St. Thomas was real nice.
Yeah.
Jamaica was real nice. A lot of those places were real nice, you know. I would do it every single year though.
Yeah.
Relax and take it easy. Don't do nothing. Yeah. No cardio. No nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. No workout. Nothing.
Bro, just
taking it easy.
You're okay with that? I feel like your mentality is like you're so much like I need to do this. How did you like?
I was so at the time consumed with talking myself into, hey, this is good for me. I can make my career last a little bit longer if I do this.
So it was still about bodybuilding.
It was about bodybuilding. Yeah, I was trying to last as long as I possibly can.
Yeah.
Without burning out or something.
Do you think there'll ever be another bodybuilder like you, man? Like genuinely?
No, because the times have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to be a bodybuilder now.
Yeah.
Like 100%, you know, committed to being a bodybuilder.
Yeah, there's way different.
As a bodybuilder, there's so many other ways of making money now.
Yeah, like we were saying.
Like, you know, you didn't have all this social media stuff when I was coming along.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think it'll be another one because you don't have to do that no more.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, guys are starting their own supplement companies now.
Yeah.
Own t-shirt company and all this other stuff you can do, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So you have 4 daughters, right?
Eight.
Eight daughters. You have 8 daughters?
Yeah.
And you have, so no, you're never going to have a son, huh?
Never going to have a son.
This is the craziest shit ever. This has to be one of the craziest things about you.
Somebody has to put the girls here.
You have 8 daughters.
No, yeah, everybody can't.
Dude, I was going to say, like, which one wants to be a bodybuilder? None of them, right?
None of them.
Damn, it's so crazy. Like, it's like you're one and done.
Yep, exactly.
So you were trying to have a son?
Oh, every single time.
Yeah.
Every single time, yeah. Never happened.
Like, that is like...
Okay.
That is the craziest shit. It's like God just like, okay, this is the one. All right, no more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. That's crazy to me.
No sons whatsoever.
8 daughters. Mm-hmm. No sons. No sons. Fuck. You were just meant to be one of one, man.
Yep, exactly.
That's amazing. So I have a question. What other projects are you working on? Are you working on anything new?
Yeah, right now we're doing this NFT. We're releasing it May 2nd. We're doing like a 14-19, you know, release. Because I'm going to try to do something that other guys are not doing.
Yeah.
So see, with the 14-19 that I'm doing, I can be one-on-one with these guys. I can, you know, bring them in. We have utilities. You know,
you're talking about the holders.
For
the holders, yeah.
We have utilities where they can come to my house. They can work out in my gym.
Yeah.
They can see my trophy room. They can work out with me at Metroflex.
Yeah.
They can, we got a trip to Dubai every year.
Oh, shit.
They go on this trip to Dubai. They can, I even have one where they can sit front row with me at the Mr. Olympia.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, we're going to do ours a little bit different, where everybody that buys a NFT can talk to me and hang out with me.
Yeah.
And do all this one-on-one stuff. That's why I'm not doing that, you know, that big release. Well, a lot of the guys are doing 10,000. Right. I'm doing, you know... 14, 19.
Total.
Total.
Okay.
And, you know, we're breaking it down in categories where we got gold, silver, bronze. And then we got, you know, the auction where our cheapest one is 0.1 Ethereum.
0.1 ETH. Yeah.
Yeah. And most expensive one is like 1 Ethereum. I'm like $2,800.
Yeah.
Those are the ones you just, you know, bid on the auction.
I see.
Auction on.
I see.
We only have 9 of those. And then it's from each Olympia. One of my greatest poses. You know, I got a front lat. I got a rear lat.
What do you think your best pose is?
For me, it was always front lat.
Front lat.
Yeah, that was always my favorite.
You pose. Hit that, you were like, I'm crushing these.
Yeah,
guys.
And then also my rear lat. Front lat and rear lat were my favorite two poses.
Yeah, I
got those in there.
I remember I was talking to Jay again, and he was telling me how if guys would see you when you'd show up to the shows, and they'd be like, what the fuck? Like, when they first, they're like, who the fuck?
They never saw me, you know, until that day, you know.
But every time, they're like, how the fuck is this guy doing this?
People don't know this, you know, every Olympia I did, I was always trying to get better after every Olympia. So I would gain at least 5 to 7 pounds every show.
Yeah,
so my first Olympia was 245.
Hi, me again. Quick interruption. Don't laugh. You're making me laugh. It's okay. Guys, listen up. This is a little interruption. I know we start off a little rocky, but shout out to one of our sponsors, Fitbod. This is a fitness-based app. Whether your goals are short-term or long-term goals, it's for you. If you guys want to get 25% off your subscription today, go to fitbod.me/rawtalk. Again, it is fitbod.me/rawtalk. And like, if you're just like, yo, what do I do? What should I train? How should I train? What exercise should I do? What body part should I hit today? It's going to give you programs. It's going to give you guidance. It's going to give you insight. Check it out. Show it some love. Shout out Fitbod. Again, use fitbod.me/rawtalk and get 25% of your subscription today, like right now, today, right after this. Pause the podcast, do that, and get your shit right.
Yeah.
That's it. Back to regular.
You're just full of slogans.
I'm full of everything. I'm just making slogans. This is slogan day, raw talk. Welcome. fitbod.me/rawtalk. Do it.
Then
holy shit.
The next one I was 5 pounds heavier.
You're talking about on stage, right?
On stage, yeah. And the next one I was 5 pounds heavier than that one, all the way up to like almost 300 pounds.
Yeah.
My last one show, I was 295.
On stage.
Yeah, 296, somewhere in there.
Off stage, off season, what was your typical weight?
Off stage, I was always between 320 and 330.
At 5'11", you
at
told me.
At 5'11", yeah. 5'11".
You were fucking, like, just people just see you.
And it's natural weight, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is my normal weight. So, you know, it's no problem at all for me to carry this weight. This
it was
is
easy to
weight.
Carry.
It's easy to carry. I can still do, like, splits and everything.
You were doing splits?
Yeah.
What the
full
fuck?
Full splits at 330 pounds.
Bro, just
so
like.
So I was still real flexible. No problem at all doing that.
That's crazy, though.
None at all. It was easy for me to do.
What the fuck?
So once I got a certain weight, it was no problem.
Genetically, man.
Oh, yeah,
different.
I got a little gift for you here.
You do?
Yeah, I got an NFT. I
know. Oh, let's you fucking go.
You are trained back a lot.
Yeah.
You got a real big back, too, sort of like me. So I got one of my Gold series for you.
Wait, does this like changes?
That's my silverback.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Do they all? They don't all come like this, no?
No. Well, the auction ones do.
They do.
Yeah.
The so okay, 22 of 25.
Yeah.
Holy shit! Oh, this is mine.
That's yours. Yeah.
Oh, let's go! This shit fucking it like.
Damn, that's sick.
Oh, that's dope as fuck, dude. Oh, let's go. That's lit.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I love it, man.
Gold series.
I mean, it's an honor. I just want you to know, like, genuinely, man, it's an honor to have you here. It's an honor to talk to you.
It's an honor to be here.
No, you are a fucking legend, man. Like, I'm in here trying to, like, I'm trying to build myself, trying to build my name. But, dude, you have done tremendous things that, like, I fully believe that no one else will ever do in the bodybuilding community. Yeah, man.
I'm just doing what I love doing.
But it's an honor, dude, for real.
That's what it's all about for me, you know.
Yeah.
Having fun, enjoying myself.
I love it, man. I'm grateful for this, for real. Yeah. I thank you.
No problem at all.
So one last thing before we go. I'm just curious, during your career, did you ever deal with any sort of mental health issues or anything now? Have you ever gone through stuff like that? Because I dealt with a lot of this shit. I'm not trying to make all my podcasts about this, but I'm really curious if you've ever dealt with anything trying like that, or even just in your life.
No, because I've always lived life to the fullest. I've always lived life to enjoy myself.
Yeah.
And to have fun. So I've always associated life with a lot of positivity. There's never been a lot of negative things I've dealt with, you know.
Yeah.
There's never been a lot of negativity thing that I've dealt with, because I've always tried to surround myself with positivity.
Yeah.
So anything that's negative, I kind of shy away from.
Yeah.
So I've never had, you know, this issue with, you know, everybody's different, you know.
Yeah.
I've never had, you know, issues with, you know, those types of things where. Yeah.
Did you ever have any like, when did you learn that, to like push away the bullshit? Like, was it just your whole life you knew that?
At a very young age, I learned that.
How'd you learn that?
Because, you know, it's the way my mom kind of raised me. You know, if you do the right thing always, you'll never be associated with bad things. You'll never be associated with doing wrong things. So I've always been mentally very strong.
Clearly. I mean, there's no way you could have done what you did without having that.
Yeah. So I've always tried to be on the straight and narrow for the most part. Never tried to, you know, get involved with, you know, drugs and alcohol and all that kind of stuff. I never drink or smoke, you know, as a kid coming up.
Yeah.
No marijuana, no nothing, you know, no kind of drugs or nothing.
Never.
Never. And, I've always just done it that way, you know. That's how I was able to get on the police department real easy, you know. I had no problems getting on with the police department, working all those years there. I worked 15 years full-time before I had to quit, because I was never there.
Yeah.
Once I won those Olympias, and guys, I can't take off. Come on, Ronnie's taking off.
And you were in fucking Aruba, chilling.
Or in Germany or Japan or somewhere. Yeah. Doing, I guess, posing or something. I was gone a lot.
I have a question. Did girls ever, like, throw themselves at you in different countries?
All the time.
This is so interesting to me.
You know, but, you know, when you're focused.
you never smashed a few?
No. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay.
Every now and then, I enjoyed myself.
Of course.
On some of these trips, but for the most part, you know, I was very businesslike.
Yeah.
For the most part, very businesslike. And like I said, you know, I always try to stay away from negativity.
Yeah. Away from bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why I was so successful. You know, with my what I was doing, because I always stayed positive. I shied away from trouble. You know.
And you seem very
out of bad stuff.
You seem very regimented. Like, it was just, you just did this.
Regimented. I had a plan that I stuck with, and I stayed with it.
Yeah.
And never shied away from it.
Yeah.
You know, I was telling Jay the other day, man, out of all those Olympics I won, I really never enjoyed it until now.
You said that.
Jay said it too.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I was thinking the same thing.
Because you were
the other
in it.
I was in it.
You had to do it.
Yeah. I was thinking, when I won the Olympia.
Next.
I had my fun. I ate my meal, my bad meal. But I was always thinking about the next Mr. Olympia.
Yeah. That makes so much sense.
I didn't enjoy it a whole lot. I didn't, you know, get a chance to party. It was like back to, you know,
the board, routine, the working board.
Yeah.
Do you think it's important then for the person listening, anyone listening to this now, like to try to slow down sometimes to enjoy it? Or do you just
if you say, fuck it, just get it? If you want to win, win eight in a row, you got to remember everybody's trying to beat you when you're on top.
Yeah.
You got to stay focused and you got to stay, within a certain.
You almost can't even look and be like, okay, I'm enjoying. You just got to keep going.
You got to keep going.
Yeah.
You can't, like I said, I never really enjoyed winning those Olympias until I retired.
It's so crazy. But it makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Because you get used to it.
Yeah.
You get used to it, especially after you done won two in a row.
So how did you know that when you got the eighth and you were done, how did you know you were done? When did you know you were done?
I knew I was done kind of like when I got second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like, fuck this.
No. I'm going to try one more time.
Okay. Yeah.
After that, when you knew you were done. Yeah.
Did you think you deserved second?
But you had won so many. Not the first time.
Yeah.
No, I think I still had it, but that they were always like, well, change is good, and they want somebody new. You kind of like
you keep winning,
and we can't make a lot of money this way.
Yeah, I feel like know you're gonna politics.
Win. Yeah, everybody know you're gonna win, so they're not showing up like they used to.
I feel like you should have nine.
You got to shake it up, you know.
You should have had nine.
I should have had nine, but you know. I got eight, so, and you know, looking back, I'm like, man, I don't know how I got eight. It went by so fast, and I never really enjoyed it. How did I do that?
You're just a fucking machine. Because
I was so regimented, like you said, and I was so focused on the next one.
Yeah. I think that's what it takes, to be great, like truly, truly great at anything.
Yeah.
You have to have that.
You have to have that.
Whether it's bodybuilding or anything, I think that's what it takes.
That's exactly what it takes.
Yeah.
You know, it's only been, three, four guys win that many in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah. And only two guys to win that many.
Yeah. And only one of those guys who can lift the weight that he does. Literally only one. You remember the classic line, everybody,
think of it,
what was it? Everybody want to be a bodybuilder, but
nobody
don't know.
Nobody want to lift no heavy ass weight.
Yes, that's my favorite, bro. That is my favorite quote of yours of like life, man.
Yeah, that was one of my ways of getting fired up in the gym too.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, buddy, lightweight baby. I'm tired of saying that, so I got to come up with something else.
Everybody want to be a bodybuilder. Yeah.
Everybody want to be a bodybuilder. Everybody want to lift no heavy ass weight.
Yeah, legendary, man. That, I'm telling you.
Like, true, though, especially that one.
Oh, yeah. That one's fucking true, for sure.
At the time I was doing, I was really thinking about that, though.
Bro, you're legendary. There's no doubt. Like, forever in history.
I was having too much fun doing what I was doing.
Yeah.
Even though I was focused and, not really trying to enjoy it, you know, to the level that I think I should have been.
So you think you should have tried to enjoy it more?
Yeah, I think I should have, but, you know.
In what sense?
I wonder if I would have won all those if I didn't.
I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think so. I
don't think so either.
I think you being the machine is what it took.
Yeah, I think me being the machine and lifting heavy like I did was my thing.
Yeah.
And that's the way it was meant to be.
Yeah, because I think it just has to do with, if we're talking about bodybuilding, the density, all that stuff that you were able to maintain and have while still being dry, lean, everything in that sense. It's one of one, man, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to get into some audience questions. Do you have any of those ready?
Yes.
So at the end of every podcast, we have audience questions. They just, send them in. If you guys want to send them in, it's askrawtalk@gmail.com. Send any questions and myself and the guests will answer them to the best of our ability. So,
you know, one thing I forgot to mention, we having the sweepstakes also where everybody who buys a NFT get a chance to win.
Are you talking about this one?
Yeah, that one.
So
everybody that buys one has a chance to win, not just one who buys the most.
What do they win?
Tesla.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So is this my entry?
Yeah.
So if I win the Tesla?
Did you buy one, though?
Yeah, that's right. This is mine. What you mean? It's right here. What you mean? Yeah, no, I got it. It's right here. It says it's at 22 of 25. So, yo, it'd be crazy if I won because
I would
win it. I'd give it away too, though. Yeah, I promise. I'd give it away. And it would be like a little collaborative. I won Ronnie's Tesla. We're giving it away together. That'd be sick.
That'd be crazy.
No, seriously, though. Like, am I answering, though? Or? Okay, okay, cool. I'm like, I don't really want the Tesla, but like, I do. That'd be sick if we were able to do that. Oh, that's hype. I love it. Thank you. Thank you, man. Okay, so there's the giveaway, and that's just when it comes to buying this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anybody who just buys one, it's
no matter which level.
Into that sweet state, yeah. Okay. No matter what level, yeah.
Cool.
All right, you ready for the questions?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so it says, when did you feel like you accomplished what you were supposed to do in your life? Oh. I feel like sometimes it's hard to see everyone doing good, and I'm here in the same spot. Then again, I'm working and so on. So they want to know.
All right, I'll answer this. So when did I feel like I accomplished what I needed to do in my life? That's I'm 100% still in the machine.
Me
like,
too.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't say that I've done it.
I'm still trying to get better at what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's I spent my whole life doing that, though.
Yeah.
Trying to get better at whatever I'm doing. Like when I was in college, I can always remember in my room studying real hard. There was some time that I would get so involved with studying that I didn't even sleep. I mean, I spent the whole night studying because I was trying to get better and be better.
Yeah.
And for the most part, it worked out pretty good.
Hell yeah.
I graduated at the top of my class with a high GPA. I graduated cum laude.
Hell yeah.
Not like a lot of my friends, thank you, laude.
Yeah. So I mean, listen, I think that that's what it takes to be great at anything.
Yeah.
I feel like I've done a lot. I've accomplished a lot of cool things, and I'm grateful for my position in life. Mm-hmm. But there's no way I'm stopping. The only way is when I'm fucking dead.
Exactly.
Straight up.
As long as you're alive, as long as you got the energy and the strength to do it, always try to put your best foot forward at each and everything that you do.
Yeah. And every fucking day.
And I did that with everything I've ever done.
Yeah.
Even when I was, like I said, in college, worked for the police department, bodybuilding,
Yeah, no matter what.
Even though, I didn't think I was going to be 8-time Miss Olympia, I'm still going to give it my all and put 100, 10% behind it.
Yeah. I just think it's a personality thing.
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure.
And I definitely have that as well. So good. Let's get the next one.
All right. It says, if you're cutting or bulking, do you weigh your portions out? I'm asking because your videos, you eat at restaurants. So how do you keep track of your intake of food throughout
Okay. So for me, I've been doing this for so long now that I definitely have a gauge of, I could notice how much protein just by looking at it.
You can eyeball it for the most part.
For sure.
For me, I weighed and measured everything I ate.
Yeah, fucking crazy.
I weighed and measured everything I ate.
The whole career.
My whole career.
Oh my God. Fuck that. That's why I'm not Mr. Olympia 8-time.
Yeah, when I was at the restaurant, I wasn't dieting.
So okay.
That was off season. Yeah.
That was all, so you would never go to a restaurant.
I never ever went to a restaurant when I was dieting.
Damn, bro.
I weighed and measured everything.
That's
exactly.
I'm telling you, you're a machine.
I was putting it into my body, yeah.
But that's why.
Everything
that's why you had it.
Regimented it, yeah. Like fucking, you said.
Holy shit. So yeah, I'm not Mr. I'm not 8-time Mr. Olympia. That's a fact. We all know that. But I've gauged it where I'm like, okay, this can work for me, and I know that I'm not always 100% strict on it. If I'm like, okay, I'm really going to be crazy about it, then I don't necessarily measure things, but I know 100% of things that I can't eat. Like I'm not going to go eat out. I'm not going to eat certain things. I know that I stay away from them, and it just works for me. And this is the thing to the people listening: you learn your body. That's one of the things he's mentioned earlier as well. Mm-hmm. Everyone is so different.
Everybody's body is different
and responds to everything different. So be aware and be attentive to your body. Listen to your body. See what happens after you eat some food. How do you feel? Did it make you feel better? Did it make you feel worse? And you have to take inventory of these things throughout your time doing it. And then you really understand what's working for you, not just what someone else is saying worked for them.
Yeah, and like I was saying, everybody's body is different. A lot of people don't know this, but I didn't really eat any vegetables when I was dieting.
Okay, that's the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life.
No, no green.
The fact that you're not, you didn't
no
die, like,
whatsoever.
I'm just, what the fuck?
None.
And your blood work was perfect? Dude, you're a freak, man. You are a fucking, like, you are one of one, never, ever is going
to
exist again.
I try to tell people genetics plays a big part in
everything. Bro, you were dealt, you were, it's like, you were the perfect storm.
And some people can be genetically freaky, like Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Bro, but you got the, not only did you get the genetics for the muscle maturity, but the genetics for the mental, like, acuity of, like, the craziness of, I'm going to do, like, you were the perfect storm, the work ethic, everything that came along with it. You did
it. And to be what I was, you had to be.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I mean, that's it.
I never thought this way before, but you probably will never be somebody.
Nah, else. I won't be. Yeah. No way.
I never thought of that before.
Yeah, there's no way, man. No way. I've talked about this a lot with my buddies.
Probably got a point there.
Like the everything, the size, the strength, the titles, everything. Like, it's never going to happen like that again. No way. And especially now because you have no boys.
Mm, exactly.
Yeah, it's fucked. It's gone. It's like, that was the last chance. Give us our next one.
This one says, who is the most interesting person you've talked to, and what do you remember from the conversation that stuck to you?
Me? Well, I'm saying Ronnie Coleman right now. Mm-hmm. I'm saying Ronnie Coleman right now. I've always wanted to talk to you about this stuff. Most interesting person you've ever talked to, and what stuck with you? You talked to, like, princes and shit. I know you said that earlier at the gym.
No, there wasn't nothing that I remember, though. If I'm being serious about it,
yeah, of course.
The stuff I learned from Flex and Kevin, the stuff that they taught me coming up,
yeah,
I didn't know anything about the sport. You know, I never wanted to be a bodybuilder.
Yeah,
and so
it's so fucking for me, funny.
In order to learn from the sport, I would have to get my information from the guys that were in the sport,
right,
and that knew all about it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know anything. So those guys.
Yeah. This just makes me think of something else. I'm not trying to shit on Flex Wheeler right now, but he said he was natural forever. And clearly he wasn't. He was the guy who helped you with your gear.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I'm just like, why do you think people lie about that?
I think it's, it has a lot to do with society and the way they see bodybuilding, you know, but it is what it is, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Sorry, it just made me think about that. I was like, I was gonna say it earlier, and I didn't. I was like, fuck it. I just want to say it. But yeah, give us one more. Give us one more, because I don't have any.
I wanted to add on to, like, his meals. He said he doesn't eat vegetables, so now I'm curious. What was your go-to meal prep, like, that you would
chicken
make
and rice?
Yourself?
Chicken and rice.
I had chicken with rice.
Yeah.
Steak, potato. And turkey every now and then. But my favorite meal of the day was always steak and potato.
Best meal.
Best meal ever.
Steak and potatoes. And why did you avoid
today?
Why did you avoid veggies? You just didn't like them?
I just didn't like the way they tasted. They were awful.
But my video guy relates so hard to that. Jacob's like, I fucking hate it. Dude, he is. It's so fucking dope. That's so cool. God. And he crushed it. Like, not only, like, the biggest, but the best ever. It's fucking insane. Do you have any other good ones over there?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can give us one more good question.
So this one says, what do you think about martial arts instead of just weightlifting? Do you think they have similar results?
Oh, results. No, results are completely different. I think the mindset that you have to have in going to both of those to be great at both of those are the similar and the same. But if we're talking about martial arts versus weight training, like, you're going to get two completely different outcomes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, martial arts is like you're learning, like, a tactical skill that can be different in so many ways versus, like, bodybuilding, if we're talking about specifically. You can obviously get a bunch of strength and have a bunch of strength from it, but you're not necessarily going to learn how to fight. You know, it's a completely different thing.
No.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Totally different. Do you have any questions for me before we end this up?
No, not that I can think of. Let's see. I think we covered just about everything. Anything, y'all?
Maybe you wanted to ask me about the fact that I was actually stronger because I didn't use a belt.
Oh, yeah. I was.
Technically.
I did want to tell you that, all that stuff. I never met you before, but I did see a lot of the stuff that you were doing when you were training, and And I was just saying to myself, this guy's pretty strong.
Man. I appreciate it. I was just fucking with you, by the way.
Probably a little bit stronger than me because he lifting a lot of heavy weight there. And he got no belt, no straps, no wraps, no nothing. He's naturally doing this stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really meant what I was saying. And I got a lot of respect for people, like, you know, to do it that way.
I appreciate it.
And, you know, lifting all that heavy stuff is easier said than done.
Oh, yeah, you know that, for sure.
Yeah, and guys will claim, oh, I'm stronger than him. I can do that. Yeah, right. Do it.
Yeah, show us.
Yes, you can show me better than you can tell me.
Yeah, oh yeah. Especially nowadays with the fucking internet.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's it. I just want to say, man, sincerely, thank you so much for making the time. Thank you so much for coming out and talking with me. This is something that I'll never, ever forget. I really mean it, man.
The pleasure's all mine, and I appreciate you bringing me on.
Absolutely, man. You are a fucking legend, and it has been a fucking honor to have this conversation with you.
Me too.
And, yeah, just thank you for your time.
No problem.
Yeah. We're out of here. I love you guys. Subscribe to Raw Talk. Make sure you drop a fucking review on iTunes. Drop a little comment on YouTube. That's it. I love you guys. We're out of here. Subscribe. We're gone.